How do you measure the success of your employer brand efforts? Maybe you just notice more smiles on people's faces, so you feel like your work is justified. Or maybe you are on best places to work lists and feel awarded for your hard work. Well, we prefer the hard numbers. The Employer Brand Index helps you calculate the return on investment of your employer brand, and in turn, validates the work you are doing to your organization. Having a great employer brand means you have to offer a great candidate experience, employee experience, and even alumni experience. When you use insights from our Employer Brand Index, you can take action and move the needle. Want to know more? Just get in touch. Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, sans Mason, it's Jürgen Sandberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans. And our mission is, of course, to make the world of work a better place. This week, we are talking to a tech company, and we're going to learn how they combine employer brand with employee experience, how they focus on treating candidates as consumers, and also we'll get a sneak peek of their brand new EVP. So lots to learn today. Let's start the show. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Right. So who are you and what is it that you do?
So I am Kelly Buckley. I'm head of employer brand and employee experience at ZoomInfo. I'm a marketing person at heart and have always been interested in consumer behavior and motivation. And on a daily basis, we're all consumers of some sort, whether it be of content or product, services. And I like to think about the choices we make and why. And I bring this type of thinking into my employer brand roles. I started my career in marketing and communications, and I've been doing some form of employer branding before there was even a name for it. I worked at Monster.com back in the day, and I remember creating decks where we were explaining what is the internet. And the team would go to employers and say, just give us one job and we'll put it on our site and we'll show you what we can do. We promise that we can outperform the Sunday classifieds. So I think of those days as the earliest part of employer branding, where we were really helping companies who relied on classifieds to reach new audiences. And we were building brand awareness for these companies. And for the past 10 years, I've had a title that has said employer brand. And I think what we do as employer brand professionals is the most impactful type of marketing.
Fantastic. Yeah. Monster.com is a blast from the past. Yay. So ZoomInfo, not to be confused with a similar sounding company.
Yes.
Can you give us the lowdown? What is it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think you're right. It is often confused with Zoom, but we are very much a different company. We are a B2B SaaS technology and data company. Our mission is to help companies connect with their next best customer. We enable marketers and recruiters and salespeople to do their job better. And our world-class data is what makes us a leader in this space. And I think in the simplest of explanations, we help companies hit their numbers. The company was founded in 2007, and it started in our founder and CEO's dorm room while he was at law school. He and the co-founder charged $25,000 to their credit cards and started what we now know as ZoomInfo. Today, we are 3,000 employees globally. We went public in June of 2020, and we have a large presence in Israel. Just opened an office in India and the UK, and we're continuing to grow and expand globally, and both organically and through acquisitions.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So I know ZoomInfo just from, I suppose, Googling people, and the ZoomInfo data on them appears. And I'm interested, you mentioned that recruiters use it as well. So it's not just for sales, it's also for talent acquisition.
It is. We have a recruiter product that really helps recruiters, again, do what recruiters do best, which is source candidates, right? And so it is to help companies and recruiters find that passive talent that is out there. And in today's world, where it is increasingly and forever difficult to find that talent, our recruiter platform is really helping companies do that.
Right. Okay. So for any TA people listening to this, that could be a useful tool. Great. All right. So speaking of talent, what talent challenges are you faced with over at Zoom Info?
Well, I think like everyone, we can just say there's just not enough of it, you know, full stop. We just don't have enough talent the type of talent that we're looking for. On the engineering front, we're competing with the biggest brands in the world for talent. So, and on the sales side of the organization, we have a constant need to fill the pipeline and fill the top of that funnel. In the talent space, I'd say we swim against some very big fish. And while we certainly aren't the biggest ones, we like to say that we have some teeth. So on the engineering side and really across the entire organization, when a candidate decides to join us, maybe instead of going to, a larger brand or a household name that we might know, it's because they're coming to us because they'll know they'll be able to do things here that they wouldn't be able to do elsewhere. But the pace and the projects that we get to work on at Zoom Info is different than anywhere else. We've got a great culture and people are excited to come work here and excited to stay. So I would say our biggest challenge is around brand awareness. So we're a B2B company, so we don't have that level of consumer awareness. And what we're striving to do is to build our employer brand awareness among those key talent segments and really be able to articulate the many reasons and benefits of why someone would want to join Zoom Info.
For sure. Okay. And I know you head up employer brand as well as employee experience. So can you talk to us about what that looks like and the structure and the team and everything?
Yeah, sure. So it's really an exciting setup, I think, because it allows us to have really a full view of the candidate experience and then rolling into the employee experience. So I know we'll talk about the EVP, but really how the vision is like, okay, if we're building awareness amongst an audience and then we get them all the way through the candidate journey up to the point where they cross the threshold of becoming an employee, how do we then continue that experience and those messages and that consistency throughout their time as an employee? So in terms of the team, I have someone who sits in Israel who oversees our employer brand activities in Israel. And then I have a team here in North America on the employer brand side, and then a team who's looking after employee experience. So we also really operate as an internal comms function as much as an employee experience function. So we're really looking at all of the internal communication channels with our employees in terms of it being whether it's a newsletter or intranet, and we do executive comms, all of those pieces. So again, from a consistency standpoint and from how you articulate the message and articulate the EVP, it allows us to really do that holistically. It's a lot of work, but I think that the team, like, we're really excited about having this opportunity where we can see all of the different touch points and how we can like move those levers to make an impact.
Yes, for sure. And I'm interested in your approach onto treating candidates as consumers. You mentioned we're all consumers of different things, candidates and perhaps even employees and perhaps even beyond alumni. Yeah. What does it look like?
I think it's a real mindset, and it's one that I started to really think about over the past few years, and that in talking to hiring managers, and I would say this was probably pre-pandemic, right, where there were certain hiring managers who always felt that the decision was theirs to make about whether or not a candidate was going to join the organization, right? And it was trying to educate the hiring managers and like, listen, this is a two-way street. You're being evaluated as much as you're evaluating the candidate. And don't not think that the candidate doesn't have other opportunities or, isn't looking at you as critically as you're looking at them. And so when we started to talk about having looking at candidates as consumers, it seemed to really resonate with hiring managers. They could then get it. And so we would say, listen, we have to make sure that we treat all of our candidates like consumers, knowing that they have a choice, just like we all do when we go to the supermarket or we go anywhere else. We all have choices. and so do candidates. And so I think with that mentality, it allows you to really think about how important it is that your messaging be succinct and that it be on target and that you do have tailored and customized messaging depending on who you're talking to. So I always say, listen, we're never going to talk to someone who's coming in for a sales role the same way we would talk to someone who's coming in for an engineering role. We really need to make sure that we have a targeted approach.
Great. Okay. And so you mentioned the employer value proposition, the EVP, and I know it's pretty fresh. So can you tell us a little bit about what it stands for and maybe a little bit around how it's going to be launched?
Yeah, sure. So I think we can start like kind of how did we arrive at it? So, you know, I think so we're lucky at ZoomInfo because there was a collective agreement at all levels of the organization that there was a need for an EVP. I started at ZoomInfo in October, and that was really my number one priority. And I would say in true ZoomInfo style, we moved really quickly. You know, we're a data company and the team spent a lot of time looking at various types of data and analyzed employee sentiment. In addition, we did focus groups with employees and conducted leadership interviews. And we quickly began to see the key themes start to emerge. You know, mainly that our employees feel that the work that they do on a daily basis makes a difference and makes an impact. And kind of regardless of their level or the function that they sat in, employees felt that they were making an impact on the product and that we deliver to our customers and ultimately to the bottom line. So the core of our EVP and our strap line is we are difference makers. So it goes on to say we strive to get 1% better every single day by evolving our skills, delighting our customers, enriching our communities, and living out our professional dreams. And the three pillars that sit underneath the EVP are grow here, thrive here, and win here. So what we say is that, you know, as an employee, you'll grow here. We promise employees will have the opportunity for career advancement and growth. And that at ZoomInfo, this will be the best learning ground, regardless of where you are in your career. The second one is we'll thrive here, and we're committed to taking care of our employees. We put benefits at the top of that kind of care for our employees. Our benefit package puts us at the top quartile compared to our competitors. And we want our employees to feel that we're providing them and their families benefits and programs for like their total well-being. And lastly, win here. So ZoomInfo is a culture of winning. It is a sales culture, and we very much lean into that. And what we say is that, you know, your work, again, regardless of where you are, even if you're not in the sales organization, you'll contribute and be rewarded for your role in our culture of excellence. And at ZoomInfo, you're part of the winning team, regardless of where you sit in the organization. So I'd say that, so those are the three pillars underneath the strap line of we are difference makers. And this is all very new and fresh. We're just rolling it out to employees. We're in the process of taking it on the road. And we're kind of, it's exciting for us to like start to see it appear in places, whether it be social or, you know, in our internal comms with employees. We're really being able to see it come to life and all the kind of multiple ways that we can use it.
Yes, absolutely. And out of the three, grow here, thrive here, and win here, which one resonates the most with your people and which one is your favorite?
Ah, that's a good question. You know, I think if you listen to our CEO, one of the things that he's most proud of and he certainly talks about is grow here. And that this is a place where I think people will say you can go and get an MBA or you can work at ZoomInfo for a year. So like there is a lot of opportunity and a lot of different ways for you to grow your career here, and that people really do get opportunities here that they wouldn't get someplace else. So I think that career mobility is a really big part of our culture. It's really important to our leadership team. So for me, who doesn't want to grow their career? Like we're all looking for those opportunities to learn and grow. And so that pillar gives, like in terms of as a employer brand practitioner, that one I feel like gives us a lot to take to market and to talk about when we're talking to candidates or talking to employees. Listen, there's a lot of ways that we can help you with your career.
Nice. Great message. Okay. And so you've got this brand new EVP. Now we need to put it in front of people. So how do you go about activating this?
Yeah. So we're definitely in the thick of this right now. And to be honest, it can be overwhelming in that you want to do everything all at once.
Yeah.
You know, so many channels, so little time. But just like everything else, it's about prioritizing. And so what we've done is broken it down into the employee and employer brand journey, and really looked at it, you know, linearly, and said under each of these key areas of attract, hire, onboard, engage, develop, and retain, we've identified all the touch points and engagement opportunities. So how do we weave in the EVP into everything that we do? And I like to think about the division between technology and the human touch. So again, like, when can we use technology to deliver our message? And how do we equip our recruiters, our hiring managers, and our leaders to think about and to deliver the EVP? Because technology is such an important part of the TA process. It's such an important part of, you know, everything that we do. So how do we really maximize technology? But also make sure that when a candidate is engaging with a recruiter or hiring manager, that they also have the ability to talk to the EVP and to make sure that, you know, it doesn't sound like they're reading talking points, but that they're able to pull that thread through the conversation about the benefits. And again, using those three pillars, grow, thrive, win here. So I think that that's super important. And when we're developing and delivering the EVP trainings, right now, in parallel, we're developing all of the tactical pieces. So like, are the tangible pieces, I should say. So it's like, hey, we're out there, we're doing trainings, we're getting everyone, we're getting the EVP stood up so people can talk about it. But we're also looking at those, like, okay, what are the automated candidate communications? How do we get the EVP into there? How do we make sure we have social cards that represent the EVP, that we're creating candidate guides, landing pages, the career site, advertising, all of those things. So there's kind of that, like, there's that training and the standing up of the EVP. And at the same time, we're trying to create all that, the asset suite that will support the EVP.
Right. A lot's going on there. And once the activation has started, it's always a good time to start measuring results and that's success. And I know it's early doors at Zoom Info, but from your 10-year experience in this field, what are some of the metrics that you will be looking at and that will matter to management?
I think it probably goes back to my marketing, my start as a marketer. And I think that you can't report out or measure unless you're constantly tracking an ROI. And you really want to make sure that everyone's on the same page so that you're tracking your success and that you can get people to agree on what a set of metrics are. You can't show value unless you have a clear understanding of what the KPIs are and what you're going to be measuring. And because we take a candidate-centric approach, I think it's important to measure at every stage of the employee journey. So for example, like looking at awareness, like, so some of the key metrics under awareness might be job posting views or social followers, engagement or career site visits. And then under consideration, the number of applicants, diversity of applicants and referrals, then decision, acceptance rate, time to hire, cost per hire. Retention would be employee satisfaction, promotion, and turnover. And then last, even I think it's important to look at post-employment. You know, what are the reasons why employees are leaving? Once they do leave, are they still willing to refer? Like, what are your alumni referrals? So I think that if you identify maybe not all of those, but some of those key ones and look at it across the candidate journey, then it starts to give you a really full picture of where you have opportunities to improve and maybe where some of your biggest challenges lie. And again, how can you maybe like zero in on those and use the tools that you have, whether it be technology or messaging or whatever it might be, to really see if you can move the dial on any of those key metrics.
Yes, great. All right. So we'll watch this space. What, in your opinion, would be some of the top tips, maybe drawing on again on your career and in employer brand, for employer brand professionals listening to this very episode?
I think, you know, think about employer brand as both art and science.
Yep.
And, you know, we should use data to make informed decisions, but we should always be looking for creative solutions. And that, you know, we have this ability to be creative in the space and to use our creativity. And while metrics are, as you know, as we just said, super important and we absolutely need them, that we should also make sure that we're allowing ourselves and our teams to really be creative and think about how do we solve for things creatively versus solving for things the way we've solved for things in the past. I think that would be my first one. I think the second one would be, think about candidates as consumers. Really, again, how do we use consumer marketing tactics and philosophy in employer brand, that if we do that, that will continue to move employer brand, I think, closer to marketing overall, but really continue to help us just move and make a difference in terms of our kind of talent attraction and candidate acquisition. And the third would be that balance of technology and human touch. Like, we really need to remember that we have both of those things and that we shouldn't over-index on either one, but to make sure that we're using technology to its fullest extent. And then how do we make sure that the human interaction is like the best type of experience that our candidates are having? And how do we really make that a robust experience?
Yeah, great. Good words of wisdom there. Right. And Kelly, you've done this for 10 years. There must be something in this position, in this role, that keeps you in it. What is it that makes the job so special?
I really do think it's special. You know, I think early in our conversation, I mentioned that I had worked at Monster.com. And
yep.
I remember on multiple occasions, I'd be traveling and I'd have my Monster backpack. And I would meet someone along the way, whether it be at an airport or something, and they would ask me if I worked at Monster, and they would be so excited. And they would say, oh my gosh, I got a job from Monster. And I remember one time going through security at an airport, and the TSA guy kind of pulled me aside and said, I got a job from Monster, and it totally turned my life around. So when the end result is that we're helping people get jobs and like jobs change people's lives, you can't not think that this is the best type of marketing. Like, I can't not be really excited on a daily basis about the fact that we're helping people and organizations change what they're doing on a daily basis and improving their lives. So for me, it is that cross section of marketing, which I absolutely love, but it's the best type of marketing because we're helping people.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Fantastic. So my final question, Kelly, is where can our listeners connect with yourself and where can they learn more about Zoom Info and perhaps the new EVP?
Yeah, sure. So easiest place to find me is on LinkedIn for sure. And I would love to connect with your listeners. So please reach out. Best place to find info on Zoom Info and our careers would be zoominfo.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you. It was really fun.
Okay, folks, there we have it. Be sure to reach out to Kelly and thank her ever so much for sharing her insights. You can find her on LinkedIn, but I'd be interested to know if you can find her on Zoom Info as well. Also, if anyone's using Zoom Info for talent purposes, please do get in touch. I'd love to hear what your experience is of that. And if you're interested in measuring employer brand, the employer brand of your organization, be sure to check out the Link Humans Index. You can find that at linkhumans.com or feel free to just ping me. Finally, to subscribe to this podcast or to find our show notes articles, head over to employerbrandingpodcast.com. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey!
What do you call a one-eyed deer?
I don't know.
No idea. The follow-up, though.
Oh.
Ready for the next one?
Yep.
What do you call a one-eyed deer with three legs?
Don't know.
Still no idea.